We're talking about film this hour, and it's no secret that Hollywood has a diversity problem. Take, for instance, the fact that women only hold about 1 in 6 leadership roles in the film industry. Women actors have complained for years about the limited roles available to them, and female stunt women, despite facing greater dangers, typically receive less pay than their male counterparts. In her documentary Double Dare, Amanda McKaylee follows 2 high-profile women stunt doubles, Jeannie Epper and Zoe Bell. And you might know Zoe's name from her work with Quentin Tarantino in films like Kill Bill and Death Proof. Well, McKaylee says women stunt doubles appear all the time in movies and not always where you'd expect.
Anytime you see an actress tripping over a vacuum cleaner, that's a stunt woman. If there's a prostitute getting thrown down a flight of stairs, which happens more than you would think. I've watched a lot of movies looking for stunts, and, you know, that's a stunt woman. So it's not just the big hero moments. There's a lot of little moments, a lot of victim moments that stunt women are always there for. And I think, you know, you talk to any stunt woman, and they'll say, oh, yeah, I've gone down the stairs in a little nighty or lingerie. And, you know, that was one of the things that became very apparent to me was that costuming was a big issue for these women in their jobs. I mean, you look at the roles in Hollywood movies, and usually women are scantily clad. So if you have a stunt woman doing a big stunt, she's usually getting hit by a car in a miniskirt or high heels or something like that, whereas her male counterpart gets to wear a 3-piece suit or you know, sweatpants and a baggy shirt, so he can hide pads under there.
When I was doing Wonder Woman, you couldn't wear any stunt padding at all. They did let us wear nylons. We got to wear supportos. Luckily, the second season, we had flat boots. The first year, we did not have flat boots. They made us boots that were like wedgie heels. I used to tape my ankles almost like a football player. You just put on what they give you and do it.
Now, that's the voice of Jeannie Epper, and she's one of these 2 amazing stunt women you profile in your movie. Tell me something about Jeannie.
Yeah, Jeannie was the first woman that I met after I was pitched this idea, and I just fell in love with her. She was the president of the Stunt Women's Association. She is definitely sort of the grand dame of the stunt world, not just for women, but for men, too.
People constantly ask me, God, aren't you getting about ready to retire? You know, nobody else lives in my body. They don't know how I really feel. I feel great. And as long as I'm feeling good, why shouldn't I be out there working?
She was a double for Wonder Woman. She did all the stunts in Romancing the Stone for Kathleen Turner, that big stunt where she slides down the mudslide and swings across a ravine. And she's just done a million movies.
She's been doing stunts for something like 50 years, right?
Yeah, she's almost 5 decades. She started when she was just a little thing, you know, doubling. They used to use kids. I mean, they used to use midgets to double for kids. And so Jeannie was one of the first kids that they actually used to, you know, on horseback to double child actors.
How did she get into this in the first place?
Jeannie's dad was a very famous stuntman. He had doubled for Ronald Reagan and John Wayne and all kinds of guys in the Westerns. So she was born into it. I mean, her family was a stunt family. And, you know, Steven Spielberg says in Double Dare that they're the flying Walendas of film. And it's true. I mean, they're like a circus family, but they were in stunts. So she just was born into it.
Well, tell me something about how... What makes a stunt woman an incredibly good stunt woman? Like, what can Jeannie Epper do?
You know, it's interesting. I think a lot of stunt people have different talents. Jeannie was never really fond of high work, for example. That wasn't one of her specialties, but she had to really learn how to do it for Wonder Woman because all those jumps where Wonder Woman jumps up onto these buildings, and now, of course, it looks sort of hackneyed in retrospect. But those were pretty high falls because actually what they did was run them backwards. So she would be standing on top of a building and stepping backwards off of a tall building and then landing in an airbag. So I think, you know, for Jeannie, she has a fearlessness that she's willing to learn something even if it's not her specialty.
So Jeannie's what, in her 60s now, right?
Yeah, she's
And she's still doing stunts?
Yep.
What does she do now?
Well, you know, I mean, there's not big jobs for her anymore. I mean, sometimes she'll get something like, you know, being a granny that's about to get hit by a car or something. So sometimes it's really sort of slapstick comedic stuff. Other times she'll be coming in to double an actress that she's been doing work with for a long time who just feels comfortable with her.
I've been doing stunts for almost 50 years.
Whoa, guys, be careful. We're working out.
It's all I really know outside of being a mom and a grandma. Retirement's not for me.
Now, Zoe Bell is the other stunt woman you profiled, and she's, I guess, what you could call part of the new generation of stunt women just coming up. She started her career on the cult TV show Xena the Warrior Princess, and I want to play a little clip from the show.
Hercules!
Excuse me, we're conducting business here.
Hercules, you gotta go to Elysia.
What's wrong?
Invaders, led by a warrior called Darphus.
Darphus?
Can't be, he's dead.
By your hand, if you're Xena. He showed me his scar.
What scar?
A huge, gaping hole right in the middle of his chest. He should have been dead.
Only the gods have the power to bring Darphus back from the dead. I can bet which one it is.
That means nothing to me. I'm still going to Elysia to stop Darphus. I won't fail this time.
That's a scene from Xena the Warrior Princess, one of the shows that Zoe was a stuntwoman on. What's Zoe like?
She's from New Zealand, and she's just sort of a rough-and-tumble girl who grew up on an island outside of Auckland. First of all, I mean, she's just like a nature girl. I think she has an attitude, again, a sort of fearlessness that she can learn almost anything. But certainly, her experience on Xena leaned towards martial arts and wire work. I mean, that is a big...
What's wire work?
Wire work is when you're wearing a harness, and you know that a lot of the Crouching Tiger stuff or the sort of martial artsy stuff that you've seen, and you know that's become more popular in American films in the last 5-10 years, is wire work. So the flips and the kicks and everything is all aided by wires. They don't want you to know that.
That's true.
But yeah, so Xena, there was a lot of wire work in Xena, and it takes a lot of gymnastic ability. Zoe's background was in gymnastics and martial arts, so she was, you know, from the age of, I don't know, 5 to 15, she probably was doing amateur but very serious gymnastics, and she ended up retiring and taking up martial arts. So that stuff really helped her with Xena.
Watching your film, the stunt women make it all look so easy. But there's one scene in your film where it really hit me, at least as a viewer, how terrifying a lot of this is, and that's the scene when Zoe, for the first time, does a high jump. Do you want to describe that?
Yeah, and I'm terrified of heights, so that was particularly challenging for me. Zoe was going to do a high fall training with Jeannie when she first came to the United States, and you know, they kept asking her, well, how high have you gone? She's like, I don't know. I don't know. I think I've, you know, done 20 or 30 feet. And 30 feet when you're standing on a high fall platform, which is about the size of a piece of bread, is pretty high. But I think the first fall that she did, they put her up to like 50 or 60 feet. And from up there, Zoe says, when you look down, your feet are bigger than everything that you're about to land on. You know, the thing you're going to land on looks like about the size of a postage stamp. You can tell Zoe's nervous. I mean, her heart was pounding, but she just pulled it off. And, you know, I think there's a lot of body awareness that she has that most of us don't have. So, of course, it looks easy.
I could do flips in a harness with my eyes closed and totally know where I am.
I'm turning this way.
Oh, that way.
But when you start hitting any complications, you have to understand how the rigs work and what the angles mean. Because it looks easy, people assume it is easy.
It's not just about having the guts to do it, and by no means are these women daredevils. I mean, they're very sort of exacting and precise when they're thinking about how they're moving and landing. It's not like, whee! So even though it looks like that from us, it's actually, you know, it's a sort of a precise thing that they're doing up there.
What's the most amazing thing you saw any of these women do?
I think when she, the fire stunt where she gets lit, she's wearing a big red kimono and gets lit on fire. That impressed me. And it wasn't so much like, oh, my God, she's getting lit on fire. But it was, oh, my God, we've been here for 15 hours and she's been lit on fire 15 times. And just the repetitiveness of it and just the stamina that it takes to be in 10 layers of long johns all night being lit on fire and covered with goop and, you know, whatever they're putting her out with and whatever they're lighting her up with. She was just covered with all different kinds of fuels and, you know, flame retardants, and it was really hot, and, you know, it was a long day. So it wasn't so much, again, the sort of impressiveness of one particular stunt than just sort of the dedication that it takes to get a shot like that finished, you know? Just do it, do it, do it.
Now, I thought one of the most riveting scenes in the movie is the part where Zoe gets to audition at Quentin Tarantino's private training center, and there are all these other women there who are working with coaches, and Tarantino's just off to the side, and he's watching everything, and you know that Zoe's career is at the make-or-break point. Will you tell us about that part?
that actually is my favorite part of the movie, is watching Zoe audition and just the tension. She kind of screws it up. She kind of falls on her face over and over and over again doing these flips. And we're all like, oh, my God, I don't know if she's going to get it. And she, you know, ends up getting the job and goes to Beijing. And we follow her there through Kill Bill. She proved in the audition that she was tough. You know, like I said, she lands on her face more than once. And I think Tarantino just was impressed by her gumption and just fell in love with her.
Amanda McKaylee is the director of the documentary Double Dare.